This is the Sunday Spin on 720 WGN. Once again, here's Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune.
Good Sunday morning and welcome back to the Sunday Spin. 312-981-7200 is our phone number on this chilly Sunday morning in downtown Chicago. I'm here in the Allstate Showcase studio in Tribune Tower on Michigan Avenue after another step out onto the WGN Storm Center patio. And while the sun is out and the skies are clear, those temperatures still very cold out there with that wind chill. That wind blowing looks like it's from the northeast, but when you're downtown, it just blows from everywhere. And yeah, it's a good brisk way to wake up this morning by going outside and getting your chill of the November air in Chicago. Well, Chris Burry and I, we were talking that last half hour about the issue of Republicans and moving forward with their efforts to repeal Obamacare, and questions about from some Republicans on how whether you just repeal it, you gotta find something to help replace it as well. But with the beginning of the full Republican takeover of Washington with the swearing-in of the new Congress, Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell of Kentucky called it the beginning of a new day.
We now stand on the horizon of a new era. We seated a new Congress yesterday. We'll inaugurate a new president later this month. The challenges ahead are great, and the work to come will be hard. But just as we heard the voices of the American people in 2014, we heard their message this last election as well. Americans call for change from the last 8 years and for hope at long last. And each of us, regardless of party, has a mandate to help and to play a role. The first way to begin realizing that hope, in my view, is to remove the things that are hurting families right now. The president-elect will have an important role to play there, especially in addressing overbearing, ideologically driven regulations. Congress will have its role, too. And in terms of what we can do here most immediately, Obamacare is at the top of the list.
That's Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell. Well, we're going to shift from Washington now to politics of the more parochial local kind. And joining me now on the phone is Alderman Amayo Pawar, 47th Ward Alderman from the Northwest Side. And Alderman Pawar is a candidate now for the Democratic nomination for Illinois governor. Alderman, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thank you for having me.
So let's just start at the top. Why would you want to be governor of this state?
So I've been watching what's been happening nationally with the campaign, and it's a reflection of what's been happening in Illinois for the last couple of years, which is, you know, you pit rural areas against cities and one community against the next, and the social safety net in this state has been collapsing. Universities are on the verge of closure, and, you know, the divisiveness, the rhetoric, it has a corrosive impact on our politics, our public discourse, and most importantly, working people across Illinois. So I felt like I had a voice to lend to the conversation, and that we need to have a progressive counterbalance to Governor Rauner's vision for Illinois.
One question I have, and frankly, you touched on it, the idea of, you know, pitting various elements of rural versus city, those kinds of things. And we've seen that in the rhetoric of the various campaigns. But yet, as an alderman from Chicago, mm-hmm. how does that play in other parts of the state where Chicago is not viewed as, you know, with a very loving eye?
Look, I mean, there's no doubt that, you know, I have to go around the state and talk about bringing people together and selling a progressive vision to people. But I think I don't think being a Chicago alderman should be viewed as negative in many ways. I think I'm responsible for constituents. I'm the front line in providing services to my constituents. I help connect my constituents to the state, to federal officers. So my point is, it's about going out and talking to people, talking less about pitting one group against one another, but more importantly, building community. And looking at the problems facing Illinois, issues facing Illinois together, rather than saying, you know what, this school district shouldn't get a bailout, we shouldn't be providing benefits to these groups of people because, again, we're one state. And while some of us have a D or an R in front of our names when we pull the ballot, or we're independent or somewhere in between, people don't wake up every day and think and look in the mirror and say, you know what, I'm a Democrat or I'm a Republican. They're people who are trying to make things work for their families. And I think that's what we should go out there and talk about.
I mean, in some of the, and we saw this in some of the legislative campaigns, particularly Republican campaigns against Democrats, where the kind of the rhetoric always included an issue like, well, this Democrat voted, downstate Democrat voted for a Chicago school bailout. Mm-hmm. And here again, that's part of playing to the regionalism that exists in the state, which is not something that's easily overcome.
So, I mean, again, I think using terms from private enterprise like bailout or strategic bankruptcy is no way to run government. Government reports to everybody, all taxpayers, Democrats, Republicans, and everyone in between. They don't report to a small group of shareholders. The second piece that I think that's important is I was in the inaugural class of the Edgar Fellowships that Governor Jim Edgar put that program together. He brought together 40 people from around the state on a bipartisan basis. And I remember one of the key things that stick out to me is he took us to a working farm outside of Champaign, and he told all of the Chicago fellows, and he said, your financial markets don't exist without the commodities, the products that are produced on this farm. That's how you are able to trade and make sure you have a financial center. And then he'd turn to the folks from around the state and say, when we're in Chicago, I want us to go on the CTA and see that this critical piece of infrastructure, transportation infrastructure, is what makes Chicago's economic engine work, is one of the components, and that we're all intertwined, we're all interconnected, and that we should see ourselves in that way. And I think that is the message combined with helping working families that I think people can hear.
Now, over the tenure of Governor Rauner, we've been in this budget stalemate. The governor now has pared back what he calls his turnaround agenda to certain items like a property tax freeze, term limits, some changes in workers' compensation, some pension reform. Democrats, for the most part, have resisted on this issue, largely contending that what the governor's various items in his agenda include union weakening positions, positions that would affect traditional Democratic allies. There is some talk about some movement as lawmakers come back to Springfield. But do you think there's any place to move on some of those items for as far as Democrats?
I think term limits on the executive office, I think, is great. You know, I'm hearing that there might be some compromise on term limits on legislative leaders. I think Governor Rauner's ideas on consolidating various units of government, local government, is also not a bad idea. I think there are things you can compromise on. But I think there are some deal breakers. Like, for example, Governor Rauner talks about controlling costs at the local level. What he's really talking about is making it easier to privatize services, sell them off, or break them apart. I'll give you an example of why this stuff doesn't work. Chicago Public Schools recently privatized its janitorial contract and gave it to Aramark because some consultant somewhere decided that, you know, it's unbelievable that we would pay a janitor $60,000 or $70,000 a year. And so they privatized that service. And now those $70,000 a year jobs are replaced by $10 or $11 or $12 an hour contractors. So you replace a middle-class job, someone who supported a middle-class family in the city, someone who cared about the building, the students, and what was going on in the school, with a few contractors to drive down the bottom line. And the schools are filthy. It's been well reported. Teacher morale has gone down as a result. And these are the kinds of things that private sector philosophies bring to government. And it doesn't actually do anything other than drive the cost down on paper, but it has a negative impact on schools and, by the way, on accountability. And these are the kinds of things that I think we just cannot compromise on.
We're speaking with 47th Ward Alderman Amaya Pawar, his Northwest Side Alderman, and also a Democratic candidate for the nomination for governor in 2018. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune here in the Allstate Showcase Studio in Tribune Tower on North Michigan Avenue in downtown Chicago. And joining me on the phone is 47th Ward Alderman Amaya Pawar, a Democratic candidate for the nomination for governor in 2018. Alderman, we've got a call from Ron, our good friend of the show. Ron,
okay.
Happy New Year, and go ahead.
Yeah, Happy New Year to you, Rick. Alderman, question. Because you do not have, you know, a lot of money, what happens is you have to have strong organizations to run. And in Illinois, that means Mike Madigan. But Mike Madigan really also makes the same argument why I would support term limits for legislative leaders. But I want you to deal with the whole thing. That's the biggest question. How do you deal with Mike Madigan? So that's it. Thanks, Rick.
Thank you, Ron. Alderman?
So, you know, I think it's interesting that we have a governor who ran to be the chief executive, and then after he won said, you know what, I have no power. I'm going to turn over the keys to my office and to all the power that I have, the pulpit that I have, to Speaker Madigan, and blame him for everything. Now, that's good politics to run as an outsider and say it's this person's fault why nothing is getting done. But you got the job. You asked for it. And so to constantly be the outsider when you have the job and then put $50 million of your own money and basically buy loyalty, to me, is just absurd. I think, look, the thing about politics is, and government at every level, it's relational. It requires statesmanship. It requires compromise. It requires dialogue. And sometimes you draw lines in the sand, and sometimes you compromise. But the dialogue never stops. You don't demonize other people, because just like everyone else who has to go to work every day, right? You go to work with people you like. You go to work with people you don't like. You have bosses who steal your ideas. But you still have to go home and get up and go back to work the next morning. You can't draw lines in the sand and be petulant. And my point is, if I was elected governor, I'm going to work with everybody and not draw hard lines in the sand and be a statesman. I mean, that's one of the things that Governor Edgar talks about in his Edgar Fellowship, which is partisanship is okay. But partisanship shouldn't trump public policy in every instance and shouldn't divide the state simply because we're partisan.
But, you know, that was a way that Springfield used to be. I'm not sure that that's something that Springfield could get back to. Springfield used to be different than Washington and the national polarization of politics. And now Springfield is every bit as much as polarized as mm-hmm. what we see in Washington.
So if I may, I mean, I think this is what's most frustrating to me. It's like, look, I want to present a progressive vision. And address income inequality. But I think one of the things that we need to start talking about is government is a force for good. I truly believe that. But it's only a force for good if we elect people who believe in government, people who understand government, people who understand that government exists because people want there to be a balance between working people and big corporations, working people and the very wealthy. Because when there is a balance, we can lift all boats. But when you have a narrative that everything that government does, and this is something that's happened over the last 40 years after LBJ and the Great Society, which is government is evil. Don't feed the beast. Government is corrupt. Everything is bloated. Privatized services. You get to a point where we constantly have to do more with less. Raising revenue becomes a third rail. And then everyone looks at government as if every proposal is coming from a bad place. And I think it's time to hit the reset button, have an honest dialogue about government, the role it plays, how it can shape our future. But more importantly, remember that after the Great Depression, it wasn't big businesses' excesses that helped us climb out. It was a federal government role, a government's role, and people coming together that created the greatest middle class we've ever seen. So I still believe government is a force for good, and that narrative needs to change, and that starts with dialogue.
It seems to me part of how you see your path is largely almost kind of in a retail sense of politics. And that's something very difficult to do on a state level. You touched on the fact that, you know, shortly before the new year, Governor Rauner put $50 million of his own money into his campaign account. You don't have those kinds of resources. So what is the path here for you?
I mean, I think the past is, like most people in the state, I can't write a $50 million check, $10, $1 million check. I can't even write a seven-figure check, right? That shouldn't mean I shouldn't run. I think my goal is I'm going to go out and raise money. I'm just getting started. I think I have good name recognition here in the city of Chicago and in the Collier counties and in Cook County. And I'm going to go out and around the state and go talk to people, whether they're Democrats or Republicans. I think it's important that if we're presenting a progressive vision to voters, that you go talk to everybody and as many people as possible. So, you know, we have people reaching out who want to host coffees around the state, and we'll go and do that. So maybe, you know, I won't have party leaders meeting with me, or maybe, you know, other officials may see my candidacy as a too big of a long shot in the near term. But I'm going to go out and talk to people about a progressive vision and strip away those partisanship lines, instead try to just focus on issues facing all Illinoisans, like how we fund public education. It's very regressive. We're the fourth largest economy in the country, dead last in public education settings. Talk about universal daycare, criminal justice reform, and talk about a jobs and capital bill.
Now, I know you have also talked about in the progressive way about the issue of how income inequality, the major issue, but also you've talked about changing the income tax structure to basically we change our current flat tax to have a multi-tiered rate. That's been talked about in Springfield before, and it hasn't gone anywhere. And part of it is, you know, here again, I think a public fear about that third rail of taxes, because you'd have to change the Constitution to do it.
Well, I think there's other ways to get at a more progressive system. You know, Senator Don Harmon had a great bill that, you know, deserves greater debate. I think there, obviously, the constitutional change is another route. I think that there is a millionaire's tax that has done well on the ballot across the state. I think it's important to recognize that whether you're in the upper middle class, or in the working poor, that we're all in the same boat. We all pay more than our fair share in taxes. It's the folks at the very, very top that benefit the most from a regressive tax system. That is, they pay the same rate that we do. And that doesn't mean they're bad people. It just means that the system has to be rethought so that it's actually fair, so we can pay for the services to lift all boats. There is no reason why only a handful of suburbs and communities around the state should be able to pay what every student deserves per pupil in education spending, just because they have a higher tax base and they can generate higher property taxes. So these are issues that I think are common to all Illinoisans. I just think it's a matter of how we start the conversation. It's not about saying wealth is evil. Wealth is great. It should be celebrated. It just shouldn't be worshipped. Wealth shouldn't be the only pre-qualifier for public office. And more importantly, paying your fair share, if you are one of these wealthy individuals, is a good thing, because that is how we keep things in balance. And if we realize anything from our history, whether it was the stock market crash in the 20s, the Great Depression, or 08, is that when you restore balance between business and government, and business and working people, good things happen. You can create middle-class jobs. But once it gets out of whack, like it has today, there's a lot of hard work that needs to be done. But more importantly, that balance needs to be restored.
That's Alderman Amaya Pawar, 47th Ward Alderman from the Northwest Side, and a candidate for the Democratic nomination for governor. Alderman, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thank you for having me.
We'll be back with more right after this.